The reading this evening is Colossians 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 20. And Brian is going to be concentrating on verses 15 to 20. That's on page 1183 of the Church Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Hello everyone, good evening. Why don't we pray together as we begin? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So my name is Brian, and I'm the internationals worker here at St. John's. If this is your first time with us, you're very welcome. Now, our church weekend is coming up very soon, so I thought I'd just prepare us by asking a question. What are the first three words of our vision here at St. John's? What are the first three words of our church vision? Does anyone know? They are knowing Jesus better. Knowing Jesus better. The question we need to ask is this the right vision to have? To put it another way, why is knowing Jesus better the top priority for Christians? After all, there are good alternatives, aren't there? So like knowing one another in the church family better? For those of us who are here this morning, The Apostle Peter tells us to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That would be a good alternative, wouldn't it? To know one another better. Or what about knowing our neighbors better? Jesus commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We should get to know the people who live in our community and serve them. That would be another good alternative, wouldn't it? Or what about knowing the Bible better? We were also told this morning that the Bible is what will grow us Christians to maturity. God's word is the spiritual milk that will nourish us each day. Now that would also be an excellent alternative. So, why is knowing Jesus better our top priority over and above everything else? Well, that is a question that the Colossians would have had as well. The Apostle Paul, the writer of the letter to the Colossians, has already said in chapter 1 that they have faith in Jesus. They know Jesus well. So why does Paul then spend verses 15 to 20 dwelling on who Jesus is? Well, as Tom, the preacher last week, mentioned, the first part of Paul's big prayer for the Colossians is that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And so verses 15 to 20 unpack what Paul means by this prayer. Being filled with the knowledge of God's will involves something very simple: knowing who Jesus is. It means understanding how big Jesus is in God's plans. And the better the Colossians know Jesus, the more they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and bear fruit in every good work. And so what that means is knowing Jesus better is the first and foundational step to spiritual maturity. It is essential. In fact, it is the top priority for them and also for us, knowing Jesus better. As we learned last week, the Colossians have also been presented with alternatives to knowing Jesus better. False teachers claim to have received visions from angels. And so they insist on rules like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, they claim, are essential to reach spiritual maturity. And so Paul is establishing Jesus' supremacy overall in chapter 1. He is building his case against these false teachers, and he will address their claims directly in chapter 2. So more on that later. But for now, let's dive into today's passage. And just to say, if you're not a Christian, you are so welcome, and I hope you will learn more about who Jesus is and why he matters so much to all of us. So our first point: Jesus is supreme over the old creation. This is verses 15 to 17. By old creation, I mean everything that was created in Genesis chapter 1, the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them. You can follow along on your handouts. Look down with me to verse 15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The language that Paul uses in these verses should take us back to Genesis chapter 1, the creation. Back then, God made all things. He made heaven, he made earth, and he filled heaven and earth with creation. And this includes man, who was made in the image of God. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. Well, Paul then explains that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the Son of God who bears his image. And so when we see Jesus, we see God. And as the Son of God, Jesus is also the heir of God. That is what the firstborn of all creation is referring to. Jesus, as the Son and heir, will inherit the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And Jesus is also the agent through whom God made everything. So when we look up at the sky, it's a clear day today, isn't it? When we see the sun and we see the moon, the planets and the stars, they were all made through Jesus. And when we look around us, the mountains and the lakes, the plants and the animals and the human beings, they were all made through Jesus. Some of us went up to the Keswick Convention this summer. Well, the beautiful mountains and the lakes, they were all made by Jesus. Think of those David Attenborough wildlife documentaries. They're brilliant, aren't they? Well, every single creature, from the most majestic lion to the tiniest mosquito, was created by Jesus. Or some of us will have watched Race Across the World. The latest season was in China and then India. Over a billion people live in China and in India as well. Well, every single person in those countries, every single person on this planet has been made through Jesus. And that is just the things and people that we see. Everything we don't see, everything that is invisible, like angels and demons, the spiritual authorities, well, they have all been created through Jesus as well. And because Jesus is the one through whom everything was created, he is superior to all of them in status. He is before all things. And he keeps everything running. He sustains them, as we were singing just now. He sustains the stars and the planets. So whether that's the solar system, the Milky Way, or just the blood pumping through our veins right now, in him all things hold together. And so the point is this: Jesus is supreme over the old creation. There is none superior to him in the whole universe. Not even the most powerful person in the whole world can trump Jesus. Now, you may have seen in the news, when President Trump visited the UK a few days ago, he was given the most prestigious treatment possible, wasn't he? He was met by Prince William and Kate at the airport, and then a lavish state banquet was held for him by the King and the Queen. Millions of pounds were spent on security to protect him from harm. Why all of this fuss? Well, because President Trump is the most important man in the world, the most powerful man in the world. He oversees the largest economy in the world, and he could unleash an arsenal of nuclear weapons at the click of a button. And yet, he only exists because of Jesus. Every breath that he takes is only possible through Jesus. When Jesus says, "Time's up," President Trump will be gone, like the puff of the wind. And so Jesus trumps Trump and every other world leader. And he is also king over our family, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, every single person who lives on this world. And that is why our top priority is to know Jesus, our creator, better, over and above everyone else. But of course, Jesus isn't only supreme over the old creation. He is also supreme over the new creation. And that's our second point. Jesus is supreme over the new creation, verses 18 to 20. And by new creation, I mean the new world that God is making through Jesus. It starts with the church, that's God's people now, and it will end with the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus comes back. So look down with me to verse 18. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus is the head of the church. The Pope is not the head of the church. The Archbishop of Canterbury is not the head of the church. No, Jesus is the head of the church. And being head of the church isn't like, you know, being head of state in many countries. You know, it's not just a symbolic role. No, Jesus has real authority over the church. He decides who is in and who is out. What he says goes. Jesus is also the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So he's the first person to have risen from the dead. And Paul will go on to say in chapter 2 of Colossians that the Colossians themselves have been raised with Christ from the dead. And their resurrection, their new life, is only possible because Jesus himself was raised from the dead. And so all Christians owe their new lives to Christ. He is our new Lord, our new master. And this idea of Jesus' lordship over Christians comes up again and again throughout the letter to the Colossians. For example, in chapter 3, verse 24, Paul says to the Colossians, "You are serving the Lord Christ. He is their Lord, their master. They belong to him." But Paul doesn't just stop there. Jesus is not only Lord of the church, he is Lord of the new creation. Look down with me to verse 19. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So do you see how epic this is? Jesus is God's agent to reconcile heaven and earth to himself. We often think of salvation that is personal, just me and God, right? I'm saved from sin and death by trusting in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, of course, that's right. But there's more to it, isn't there? Perhaps we think of salvation as something that is corporate. God is saving a people for himself. Now, that's what we've been learning in 1 Peter. We are elect exiles, saved by God to belong to him. But you know what? God's plan is even bigger than that. He is reconciling heaven and earth, the whole creation, to himself. Now, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, creation was cursed by God. The relationship that we used to enjoy with God was broken. Heaven and earth are separated from God. But God has reversed the effects of the fall. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And through his death on the cross, this broken relationship between creator and created has been restored. And the church is only the first part of this new creation. One day, God will bring about an entire new heavens and new earth. A whole new world, as Disney puts it. And guess what? Jesus will be Lord of the new heavens and the new earth. And if Jesus is supreme over the new creation, over the church and over the new heavens and new earth, well, what are the implications? Well, it has implications on who we should prioritize at getting to know, doesn't it? Of course, we should know our brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, we should know our neighbors better. But the person whom we should know best of all is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We owe our new lives to him. We belong to him. He is our Lord, our Master, our King. And it's also worth saying this. It is possible to know the Bible really well, but not to know Jesus. In the four Gospels, the scribes and the Pharisees knew the Old Testament back to front, but they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And in universities up and down this country, there are plenty of academics, professors of theology, who are experts in the New Testament, and yet they too reject Jesus as King. And so that's why knowing Jesus better is such an excellent vision statement, or at least the first half of it. We need to make sure that as we study the Bible, it is not just an academic exercise. We're not just gaining more head knowledge. No, our end goal as we search the scriptures is to know the one who made us and saved us, the one who reigns supreme over all creation, the old and the new, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and bearing fruit in every good work. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you so much for the Lord Jesus. Praise you that he is supreme over the old and the new creations. I thank you that he is the firstborn from the dead, the head of the church, and we belong to him. He is our Lord, our Master, our King. Please would you help us to know him better so that we may live godly lives, that we may grow in maturity and be full of fruit when we see him. In Jesus' name, amen.